the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce. Thank you all for joining us for this morning's conference call. We know that all of you are working hard to manage your way through this crisis, and one of the things that I think we all know for sure is that we're all in this together. We appreciate your membership in the chamber, cannot thank you enough, and our team is working hard to provide you with the latest information and resources to help guide you through all of these challenges. We're taking it 1 hour at a time, just like I know everybody on this call is. Wanted to remind you that this is a muted call because of the large number of participants, but there will be a recording of this morning's call that will be posted later today on our social media channels, so you can re-listen or share with others if you would like. Also, if you have questions during the presentation this morning, please email those to Nancy Houston, and her email address is nhewston@mobilechamber.com, and we'll try to take those as time allows during the show, and then we can also respond to those questions later. So let's get started. We certainly know that today's guest, his comments, and hopefully our conversation will be beneficial to everybody on the call. Our guest today is Terry Harbin, who is our chairman of the Mobile Area Chamber, and of course he's also the market president of Bancor South. I'm really proud to introduce Terry. Besides being the chamber chair, he has 35 years plus experience in all phases of sales, marketing, technology, and banking management. He has started two technology-related business ventures, which continue to operate successfully today. He has held various sales and marketing positions at QMS, Mobile's QMS, and has served in executive positions with Regions Bank, Bank Trust, and now, of course, Bancor South. So we are certainly all aware that this pandemic has changed all of our lives, including the critical economic role that small businesses play in our economy here locally, and financial institutions across the country are gearing up, helping us, helping to distribute financial relief to small businesses that are doing their best to weather this coronavirus and, of course, the fallout associated with that. That's why we're so glad to have Terry on the call today. So with no further ado, thank you, Terry, for being with us this morning. And will you talk about what banks are doing currently?
Bill, I will. Thank you so much for having me on this call this morning. I'm going to preface my remarks by just telling everyone that the situation with the SBA and the Treasury is still very dynamic. We were receiving information on teleconferences as late as last night that some of the application processes for the payroll or paycheck protection program are changing even as we speak, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But let me start the call off today by letting all of our listeners know there are really two programs that are in place right now to help small businesses that have been rolled out as a result of the legislation passed by Congress Friday a week ago and signed into law that same day by the president. The first is what we're calling an EIDL, Economic Injury Disaster Loan. That is a loan that is applied for directly through the SBA by going to the SBA website, which is sba.gov, and at the very top of that page, the headline there is Coronavirus, Apply for Economic Injury Disaster Loan. Click here. And it actually walks you through a step-by-step process for how to apply, who's qualified, what you can receive, and all of those details that we'll talk more about later. The second piece that's really on everybody's mind right now is the Paycheck Protection Program loan, and we'll spend some time talking about each one of these today. But that is a loan whereby you apply at any institution, any bank, any credit union that is already, prior to this crisis, an authorized SBA lender. So two very distinct programs that are applied for in different ways, one direct, one through your local bank. And by the way, even though Bancorp South is my employer, I want to make it very clear up front today that every bank in town is, whoever you bank with, is able to help you with this. And if they're not, they'll refer you to the appropriate place. Bill, I think I would just say that banks really are on the front line of the effort to help mitigate the financial challenges that our small businesses and the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce's region are being faced with today. The Treasury Department and the SBA have chosen local banks as a delivery vehicle for these funds for the very reason that it can be somewhat complicated, somewhat confusing, and they want a local face, a local name, someone that you have comfort level and confidence with for you to be able to deal with those folks. So talk to your local banker about any of the questions that you may still have coming out of this. I think it would be clear to say, with experience to back it up over many years, that Mobile is blessed with an enormous number of great banks and very seasoned and well-trained bankers who should be able to help you with this. So, you know, we're really playing a role of helping communicate information and also helping people walk through this application process, in particular for the paycheck protection part. So we're willing and able to answer any questions. I can tell you this, you may have to get a call back. I honestly don't ever remember a time in my banking career that my phone and my email has been so busy. So be patient with us, but there are a lot of people out there, a lot of resources ready and available to help.
And that's why we can't thank you enough, Terry, for taking the time to be on this call this morning. We really appreciate it. Just for clarification, Terry, let me ask you, who can apply for these funds? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, Bill, and I'm gonna give some detail on that, but I'm also gonna reference. I was mentioning this to Nancy before the call. SBA.gov is out there, but the Treasury Department website has all the same information. You cannot apply for a loan through the Treasury website, but I want to just refer everyone who's listening to the U.S. Department of Treasury website. The reason for that is there are four documents, PDFs, that are on the very opening page of that. And the first one is a top-line overview of the program. What's covered, what the limits are, who can apply, all of those types of things. Then there's a document for lenders, and there's a document for borrowers, and then the application that you use. So they really are two programs, but a lot of resources out there. So your question was, who can apply? And the fact is that any business in the country that has 500 or fewer employees can apply. There is, out of the $2 trillion that was passed in the relief package, there's roughly $350 billion, $349 and some change, that's available through this paycheck protection program. And so that's the first one that people need to be aware of. And the limits on that go all the way up to $10 million. And so it is available, and it is a program where you actually take your previous 12 months of payroll, divide that by 12 to get an average monthly payroll, and then you multiply that figure by 2.5 times, and that's the amount of your loan. So it's really a fairly straightforward process, and any company under 500 is able to apply to that.
So anything else that you would like to cover right now related to the Paycheck Protection Program, Terry? You know, some pointers for folks maybe in that area.
Yeah, I would, Bill. It's and one of the things I've been talking to customers about into the evening last night and early this morning is that there are some dynamic changes taking place right now. There's an application out that people have been completing and turning in. They have added something new to that application this morning. But essentially, the beauty of this program for small businesses is it is a 100% SBA guarantee where you are not being asked to put up any collateral. Most SBA loans that we have traditionally been familiar with are loans where you underwrite those loans from a credit standpoint, just as you would any other non-government guaranteed loan. That has been waived in this. And so what we would think of as normal, you know, creditworthiness criteria and that kind of thing is not being applied. And it's a loan the day you get it, but it can be forgiven. And so that's is an incredibly important feature of this, I think. We'll come back to that. Another thing, though, as you are doing your employee calculation amount for what the loan would be, if you have any employees in your company making in excess of $100,000, they still qualify, but the salary cap will be $100,000 for that employee. So they still count in the full-time equivalent calculation, but you cap their salary at $100,000. Here's a change, and it's a very positive change. When this was rolled out actually on Monday of this week, we were talking about the interest rate being a 4% interest rate on the unforgiven part. They've actually cut that to a 0.5%. And so I think that's an enormous plus. So changes like that keep coming. We'll all be grateful for them. It's important to say at this point, the banks are actually being compensated by the SBA for processing these loans. And so this is not something that our businesses should be charged a fee for. By someone unless they're already a designated SBA agent. And there are a lot of different people out there that can be agents.
Terry, do you mind repeating that? Because I think that's something that everybody needs to be aware of and maybe wary of.
Well, I do, Bill, and I also want to give a shout out to all of the great CPA firms that are out there doing work helping people get these applications ready. Let me say that, what I said first, and then I want to come back and talk about how CPA firms may be compensated for this. So the banks are being paid an origination fee by the SBA, and so the company, the business applying for these, there is no fee. Normally, when you do an SBA loan, there's a fee attached to it. There are no fees attached to this. And further, unless you're a registered agent for the SBA or have a contractual obligation with a bank where a bank is willing to share their fee with that preparing organization, the law states that the customer, the company, cannot be charged a fee. Let me give a giant caveat to that, though, Bill. If you call your accountant, CPA firm, or whatever, and you ask them, I need you to help me generate reports for this supporting documentation, those are professional service fees, and they would be normal and customary, and they can be charged, but they're not a direct application fee. So I hope that clears that up, And frankly, that could be an area that the FBA changes before close of business today, and because there have been a lot of questions raised about it. But as it stands today, that's the case. So you are able to get the loan at 2.5% or 2.5 times your average trailing, salary load. And then 8 weeks later, you're able to come back to the same bank and bring proof that you used those funds to pay employees, to recall employees, or maintain employees. Both qualify. And in the 8 weeks following the day you sign the loan and receive your funding, you bring that back to the bank, and it doesn't have to be on the exact 8th day, but you're bringing demonstrable proof similar to what you used to originate the loan. You bring that back and show that you did pay the folks or recall the people, and maintained your full-time equivalent payroll, then that portion of the loan will be forgiven. There are also some other factors that come in to play there. Things like rent payments or the interest portion of your principal and interest payment on a building your company or might own. Things like internet costs. All of those can be, while they're not used in the calculation for the original loan amount, they can be used in the calculation for forgiving the loan. Some of that is a little bit complicated, and that's where you need to talk to a banker one-on-one, and they can help explain some more detail. But generally, those are the guidelines.
Terry, I'll just ask this question quickly, just to make sure everyone understands. When will the new funding be available to small business? Because I know that that's critical.
That is critical, Bill, and I can tell you the goal of the legislation that was passed, the goal of the Treasury Department, and the goal of the SBA is to get this money into people's hands quickly. So applications can begin being made to banks tomorrow morning, April the 3rd. However, I would suggest, and I'm a caveat that this is an opinion, it will surprise me if actual funding for these loan requests is made available before about the middle of the month. Here's why. The volume of applications is so high, and I've talked to many of my counterparts in other banks. They're experiencing the same load that we are, so it is going to take some time to validate the applications, validate the supporting documentation, do a screen for fraud, because this application as it stands today is only 2 pages long, and so they're asking us as the frontline bank to make some determination on whether we think the data supplied is legitimate. So I'm just guessing that the first checks are going to be somewhere 10 to 15 days after tomorrow.
Thank you, Terry.
Everything's
subject to change right now, right?
Right.
And we appreciate your staying on top of it, and we're trying to do the same thing for our members, as you know. So how does a business prove that its losses are because of coronavirus?
Yeah, Bill, I should have put that language directly in front of me for the call today, but generally speaking, the entire country has now been declared a disaster area with the required social distancing, shelter in place at home, limited access to many retail establishments, which have been declared essential, the closing of many or all of the personal services, establishments, a very straightforward and simple statement, a narrative that says my business has been impacted due to the fact of a statewide closure of my type of business, clientele being cautious to still come in, a very generic statement with a an honest assessment of what your impact has been is so far all that's being required. Now, you've got to have payroll records, you've got to have all those other things, but just specifically to your question, what kind of injury do you have to demonstrate? It is already assumed that injury has taken place.
So, Terry, why don't we talk a little bit about that, if you would, what a borrower really should prepare when applying, what they need to be prepared for?
Bill, let's focus on the Paycheck Protection Program right now.
Okay.
Because that's the one that's immediately pending. And, again, the EIDL site actually walks you through what needs to be supplied and allows you to upload those documents. But generally speaking, to support an application for the PPP loan, payroll documents for the previous 12 months, so that would be first quarter of 2020 and the final three quarters of 2019, those documents have to be supplied. And remember, it's not just wages, paid time off, vacation, family medical leave, state and local taxes. All of these things can be included as part of your payroll number. If you are including things like dismissal or separation, you're going to have some proof there. Proof of payment for payroll taxes. Is going to be required. Proof of payment on your group health insurance benefit will be required. So pretty much anything that will clearly support the number that you put in the application. So the front page of the application has a block called after your name and address, TIN number and that kind of thing. There's a block that is called average monthly payroll. So that is all of those things added up to the previous 12 months divided by 12 gives you that number that goes in that box. You multiply that times 2.5 times. That equals the amount of the loan you qualify for. And then there is a number of jobs box right next to that. Everybody needs to be aware that that's full-time equivalent. So if you have two people that are working 20 hours a week, they would calculate as one FTE in that box. So anything that you would normally produce that would support that number is what you're going to need to submit along with the application.
Terry, I'm just going to stop and ask everyone or remind everyone that they can email questions to inhouston@mobilechamber.com. Nancy, if you're on the call, have you gotten any questions that you'd like to field for Terry at this point?
Excuse me. Yes, hi. We have not. No emails
okay.
have come in yet.
Okay. Well, we'll just continue the conversation, Terry, and I'm sure we'll get some of those and, you know, get answers to those out after the call today. So we've gone through that, and we might – Terry, if we could talk a little bit more about what specifically can be covered with or what will be covered with these new loans. I know you've talked about some of that, but maybe a little bit more detail.
Yeah. Bill, let me bear with me. So here is a document furnished by the SBA. I'm going to read directly from it because it's a little extensive, but it's important. The question is, what are considered to be payroll costs? So employee compensation, which consists of salaries, wages, commissions, or similar compensation, a cash tip or the equivalent, payment of vacation, or parental, family, medical, or sick leave, any allowance for dismissal. So if you had severance pay to an employee that you paid, that would count. Separation pay, payments for group health care benefits, including your insurance premiums. Retirement benefits, things where you might have matched 401k, or if you still have a defined benefit plan, that might be covered. And then state and local taxes that are assessed on employee compensation, and those, of course, have to be prorated the same, you know, for the covered period. By the way, the covered period for this actually begins, the benchmark is February 15th. That's an important day because you're really going to be asked to demonstrate that these funds were used to maintain that level of payroll that you had in place on average for the previous 12 months. So there's also
Terry, it's through June 30th. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. So there's also an independent contractor, sole proprietor piece of this, and so there's slightly different documentation that, you know, has to be done there. You may be taking a draw from a sole proprietorship business. And you're going to have to demonstrate there through a general ledger page what those amounts were during that previous 12-month period to get an average, and then also demonstrate that you regularly paid your quarterly taxes, payroll taxes, on those draws. So, this is one of those things where it's just basic to keeping good accounting records. So when you need them, you can go back and find them.
Terry, we're getting close on time, believe it or not. It's funny how fast this 30-minute slot can go. But let me ask you this question. Let's say I'm a small business owner. I'm overwhelmed right now where to start with these SBA loans. What would you tell me to do before the close of business today?
Yeah, before the close of business today, my first recommendation would be to go to this Treasury site that I mentioned earlier. There is a document out here that is plainly titled, "If You Are a Borrower, More Information Can Be Found Here." I've just clicked on that hyperlink, Bill. It's loaded already, and it starts off what the program is. It says, "When can I apply?" Starting April 3rd, that's tomorrow. Starting April 10th, independent contractors and self-employed can apply, so they can't apply for another week. It walks through where can I apply, who can apply, what documents will be needed, what counts as payroll, a different twist on what I read from another document. So this is a four-page document in plain English that will give everybody a great start. And then, you know, the next document that is there is the application. And so it really is not a – it's the most simple government document I've ever seen. Then if people have questions, call their local banker or their local accountant or CPA, and I think they can answer for them.
Terry, we have had a question that's come in, and it says, "I've already completed and signed the SBA 7A documentation and sent to my banker, whom I'm working with. Do I need to contact them concerning changes?"
All right. Now, 7A program is very different from the program, the payroll protection that we've been talking about. 7A documents, you're going to need to work directly through your bank and not through the SBA. So, yes, if those are completed and signed, those are documents, and most everybody is going to need to make an appointment with their banker. Our lobbies are closed due to social distancing, but we're seeing clients every day, one at a time, to continue to practice that. So, yes, that's the answer to that question. If it's a 7A and you have everything prepared, contact your banker. set up an appointment and bring it in.
Great question. All right, Terry, what else would you like to share before we close out this morning?
I think, Bill, I'd like to go back to the EIDL for just 1 minute. Those are, of course, loans up to $2 million. They have a fixed 3.75% interest rate for for-profits, 2.75% for nonprofits. Those are loans. They don't have a forgiveness component to them, but in certain cases, they can be amortized up for up to a full 30 years. And in that loan, there is an emergency $10,000 that can be obtained within 3 days, and there's actually no requirement to repay that $10,000 if your EIDL loan is denied. So I think that's an important piece. That's at SBA.gov.
Quite a lifeline.
Yeah, absolutely.
What else, Terry?
Bill, I would just say, you know, the only other thing, and again, I want to be very careful to say this is available at any bank, but if you have a question that you didn't get into Nancy and you'd like to email me direct, terry.harbin@bxs.com, I'll be happy to try to reply to that and get you in touch with whomever might be the right person to help.
And of course, we can help connect them if they want to send that to Nancy, and we'll make sure that you get that, Terry, if they didn't quite get your email there.
Go ahead. Really quickly, let me just put a shameless plug out for mobilechamber.com. I've been referring people to the chamber website all week. There is a great link for coronavirus resources. When you click on that, there are webinars and application forms and so many other things that are super helpful. So I would say, in addition to Treasury and SBA, look at mobilechamber.com and click on the COVID-19 resource link. It will take you to a lot of other information.
Thank you for that, Terry. That's all the time we have for today, but we will continue to keep that COVID-19 page on our website as up-to-date as we possibly can, and also pushing out information on social media. Terry, we can't thank you enough, and let me just say we are so fortunate at the Chamber to have you as our chair this year under these circumstances. The expertise that you bring and helping us navigate this, we can't thank you enough. Again, this call was recorded. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, very kind of you to say, Bill, and I'm glad to help in any way. Thank you.
Thank you. And, again, this call was recorded, and it will be posted to the Chamber's social media channels. And please be on the lookout for future calls right here at this time. We'll continue to do these. And please let us know how we can be of service to you. And thank you again for your membership in the Mobile Area Chamber of Commerce. I hope everyone has a good rest of the day. Thank you.